Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, I think today and in the next subsequent couple weeks, we really want to focus on this issue of truth. But more specifically, we want to focus on how truth has been deconstructed.
Right.
And not just truth, which we're going to talk about, suppressed or rejected or rebellion. But we want in that, all of those things that we talk about, we want to talk about how truth is literally being deconstructed before our eyes and the ramifications of that,
right.
Both culturally, politically, you know, everything,
right.
As we look across. And I think probably no better passage of Scripture to do that would be Romans 1.
Well,
in particularly Romans 1 and 18 and following.
Yeah. Because that passage describes what has happened to societies over and over again. And this is where societies go when they turn from the truth. And so we just begin by reading the passage that's pertinent to today's topic. And Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is being revealed, Paul says, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, King James says hold the truth, who suppress the truth, who hold it down by their unrighteousness. Because that which may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things.
You know, it's interesting. There's quite a few things we want to look at over this time period, and those three things are the suppression of truth, the rejection of truth, and the rebellion towards truth. But today we want to focus on suppression, and what I'm calling it, truth deconstructed suppression.
Right.
You know, colon suppression.
Yeah, and this whole deconstruction thing is a gradual process.
And right.
We want to begin at the beginning.
And we kind of want to unfold that, or as our pastor says, unpack it.
Yeah.
You know.
There you go. Yeah.
So really what we want to look at today is the suppression of truth.
Right. And what happens is there's always a process, and we're going to give sort of a process here, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen in this order.
Right.
But all these things do happen in a society, in a culture, and individuals. You know, the first thing we see happen is that truth is deconstructed. It's suppressed personally, on a personal level. And it's interesting that Paul says he goes right to the heart of the thing at first when he talks about the conscience, when he says, because that which may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So men naturally, women, people naturally have a knowledge of God. God has placed in them a consciousness of him. They know there is a God. You know, it's not like, I want to say something that people said, you believe that God created everything in 6 days? And I want to say, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, well, you believe that there's a God who created things? I want to say, you don't. Because yes, they do.
Well, I think it's important to realize this, because really everything begins personally. I mean,
right.
if you want to get down to the core of what the truth is seeking to do is to deal with an individual and his personal problems, his heart, his
right.
sin. Later you move on in Romans where it talks about our sin and reveals our sin and where our sin came from, and we sinned, all sinned in Adam. And so there's this very personal nature
right.
that has to be dealt with.
And the issue is really a moral one.
Right.
We'll get down to it. And we'll see that more as we walk through this. But, you know, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that God has put eternity in their hearts, in the hearts of men, in the hearts of people. And so you have this personal suppression. Surely, you know, people will think, surely God doesn't expect me to do that. Surely God doesn't expect that of people. Surely God wouldn't, a loving God wouldn't do that. We suppress the truth about God. We, then we suppress the truth about other things. It's not just a theological thing, but that's where it begins.
Well, and that happened, I mean, we can go all the way back to the garden, and where Satan looks at Eve and says, surely he did not say that you would die.
Yeah, you're not going to surely die.
So basically, we as humans have been doing that ever since time
since
was.
Since then. Yeah. Yeah. That's been our nature since then.
I shouldn't say since time was, but since that point in history. Now,
since
anyone who's listening to this who's not a believer, who may even be an atheist, let's just say perhaps that they are listening to this. Right. If you're not willing to say, well, there is absolute truth, then it's already been deconstructed, and personally, there's nothing we can do. I mean, we are talking from the basis of realizing that there is
truth.
Absolute truth.
Right. And what concerns us, what burdens us, is that what happens as a result of truth deconstructed. Truth destroyed, truth killed, so to speak. And so it first happens on a personal level, happens personally.
But it's not only personal, because as we see the progression here, even in these verses that we're looking at, it happens culturally.
Culturally and societally.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting the phraseology or the words here in the passage, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for he has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's talking about men corporately. He's talking about men societally. He's talking about men culturally, men and women. I'm sorry, I'm using a sexist language here.
Okay.
But he's talking about humankind here in a societal sense, in a cultural sense. And nothing ever stays on a personal level. People say, well, I can do what I want. It doesn't affect anybody else. What we think, and when we live by what we think, it affects society.
So if I hate somebody and I then kill them, it will obviously affect that person and then therefore affect their family and those surrounded that loved them and cared about them. You know, it does not just stop with me.
Well, and I think if we think of men like Karl Marx and Hegel and Nietzsche, and even, I got to draw a blank right here, The Origin of the Species, Darwin.
Darwin, yeah.
What these men thought, their suppression of truth affected not just a society, but societies.
Well, and if you look, I don't know if you've ever seen this film, but there's a film called Expelled.
I haven't seen it, I've heard of it.
And in there, they're talking about this whole issue of the Jews that were killed. Mm-hmm. And the Jews that were, you know, exterminated.
In Germany, yeah.
And what people don't realize is that a lot of that thinking which guided Hitler in doing that came
from Nietzsche,
yes.
Especially. Yeah.
Well, and also came from this idea that, you know, the survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And natural progression, natural order, you know.
Yeah. And there is an elite race or elite people.
Right. So those thoughts have consequences both on a cultural and societal level.
That's
what's
exactly
funny
right.
is there's people now that even want to suppress the truth that even happened.
Right.
As far as the...
Which again, there you go.
Jews being killed.
I mean, what we see is this spread of this desire to kill truth. We want to get rid of it. So a culture is affected. A whole culture and society is affected now by this movement, what becomes a movement to deconstruct truth, to say... In essence, there is no truth. Nothing's true except what you want to be true. As our brother Al Mohler points out, it's truth becomes an inward thing.
Right.
It's what you make it.
Right.
It's what it is to you.
Well,
inside.
It's that true relativism that you know, not there's everything's relative. It's whatever you want it to be.
Right.
It's very existential in the sense of, well, you know, I like this and you don't, but that's okay. We all love. We just love.
Yeah.
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
We just love.
Yeah.
You know,
and just
that's
believe.
All you need is love. You just believe, and it'll be, and it's just kind of this nebulous thing that just kind of hangs out there.
Yeah. So we're actually taking this progression probably backwards from the person, but it does have to begin in the individual.
I know, I believe that. So. I think so. Yeah.
But then it has this effect intellectually and philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting here that he says because that when they knew God, okay, he's saying. That mankind knows God by nature. They did not glorify him as God, and they were not thankful to God. They didn't see that God, they were the recipients of God's beneficence. And so they weren't thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And there's just forms of idolatry there.
It is interesting you bring this up, the whole issue of the intellect and how it's intellectually driven, this whole deconstruction of truth. Because you look at people like Richard Dawkins, who intellectually seeks to deconstruct truth. He writes books about it. He pontificates about it. He, you know, lectures on it in colleges and
explains
universities.
His intellectual arguments about
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah. And in some ways can make himself sound very plausible. There yeah. is a sense in which people take the mind that they have and seek to deconstruct that which would be absolute.
Yeah. And which would be obvious
yeah.
to most people. Which leads us to what happens is men begin to, and women, begin to explain phenomena naturally instead of supernaturally. And so we try to come up with some naturalistic explanation for the creation, for sickness, and for other things. And then another thing that happens is that now folly looks reasonable and reasonableness looks foolish.
Which I think is very scriptural, because scripture talks about the, you know, that which is good, it's now called evil, and that which is evil is good.
Right.
And then people actually do that.
There's a complete flip-flop of moral evaluation.
I think we're seeing that now in our American culture, and I think across the world as well, but in our American culture we see it because that's what we live in, and you see people calling things evil that you go, how could that be evil? And
right.
calling things good that are absolutely horrid.
Yeah, that we once naturally looked at as wretched.
For instance, how can in a perfectly logical situation could you take a situation where, like, for instance, a movie makes about a guy who's a homosexual, he's been married and has a family, he leaves his family, goes with his lover that he's always wanted. How could you logically, if you want to put that out there, go, that's a good thing? Now his wife and his children are suffering.
Yeah. We call that,
we call
even
that
if
freedom and liberty, but or that the fact that they couldn't do that.
Right.
They had to stay locked into this system and never follow their
which
true love.
Which is not fair.
Right, which is not fair.
In this kind of thinking, yeah.
yeah.
So reason becomes folly. Mm-hmm. What once was reasonable, because we had society, culture based on truth,
mm-hmm.
now is folly. And what once was folly is now reasonable.
Well, and I think where we see this played out probably clearly and right before our eyes and every day in current circumstances would be politically.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that more, I think, as we get to our last point. But now those who are supposed to be in our particular situation, public servants, are now forcing upon, with the aid of others who agree with them, forcing upon a society by their political savvy and political abilities and political maneuvering, a whole way of thinking is as we described just earlier. So now it affects the political process. Men who stand, who want to be public servants and who stand on truth, are dismissed from discussion.
Right.
As I said earlier, you actually believe that there's a creator? You actually believe in a six-day creation? You actually believe a man who has male parts and is obviously made to function, there's a problem, we say made, they do not, function as a male, now wants to be a female. You actually believe that's not right?
And you actually don't?
Yeah. So now the stupidity is reversed, and those who hold to truth are the ones who look stupid.
Well, and once you start deconstructing the truth of God's word, and there's no absolutes, then any kind of truth or document that which had original intent
right.
has been destroyed. For
yeah.
instance, our Constitution
right.
here in the United States, or just law itself, whether you're in the American
yeah.
culture
yeah.
or in other cultures, it's like, well, this law was made when it was not practical, and they didn't understand, couldn't possibly understand where we would be today.
And we've seen politicians or public servants, men who are supposed to be public servants, just ignore the law. They don't want to do it. Right. They say, and they tell those under them, don't enforce that.
Right.
And when there's no truth, then anything goes. It just depends on who's in power. Whoever's in power can say what is the right thing to do because there's no truth anymore. And so that's where it leads us, ultimately, when we suppress the truth. And that's just at the point of suppression.
So you would say the first step in deconstructing truth is suppressing it.
Yeah, I think it is. That's the first foray into the deconstruction. You don't see it. You just see it as thinking reasonably.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. But next week, we want to take a look at not only the suppression, but we want to take a look at the rejection of truth. And then the next week, we'll look at the rebellion of truth. So we just kind of move along here the next couple weeks in that. So, well, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today